Before I switched to Wealthfront, my APY was probably 0.1. Like, it was a joke.
I was literally getting pennies. Once I switched, cha-ching.
With a Wealthfront cash account, earn up to 4.2% APY on your cash.
The high APY with Wealthfront was a clear winner.
There are no petty fees.
Every month, there's this much that I'm getting in interest, and I didn't have to do anything. My money is working hard on its own, and I can trust Wealthfront is taking care of me.
Earn more on your uninvested cash with a Wealthfront cash account. No account fees, no minimums, and no strings attached. Get started today at Wealthfront.com. Clients were paid $1,000 for their testimonials, creating a conflict of interest. Outcomes vary. 3.3% base APY as of January 30th, 2026 is representative, variable, and earned on funds swept to program banks. 0.65% new client boost for 3 months on up to $150,000. Direct deposit $1,000 a month and fund an investing account for a 0.25% increase. Cash account offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, not a bank. Fees and eligibility requirements may apply to certain checking features of the cash account.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Everyone,
there you are.
I was talking away and realized, oh, I was muted. So great to have you here, Dave. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's great to be back with you, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, when this news broke yesterday about Murdaugh, I thought there is no one better to get on to discuss this and break down the legal ease that went on with this. Of course, we are talking about Alex Murdaugh. Alex Murdaugh was convicted of killing his wife and son, young son. He has two sons. He was convicted of killing Paul Clearback, or convicted more recently, but the murders took place back in 2021. So want to discuss and get into it. But first of all, Dave, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm fine, Jennifer. I was saddened to see this case get overturned because it puts the families of the victims through the ringer again. And the jurors feel like all their time has been wasted, all because of a rogue clerk of court. And the evidence against Murdaugh was, to me, overwhelming. But, you know, you have to protect the system. And the clerk of court stepped out of her normal role into front and center. Normally, clerks of courts are behind the scenes. Here, you got the clerk of court who made herself the center of attention, wrote the book, wanted to make money off it, and now we're all paying the price.
Yeah, no, you couldn't have said it better. Really quickly, for those who might not know about the case, I'm just going to quickly go over the facts, and that is that Alex Murdaugh, that you see on your screen in the bow tie, he was an individual, very prominent attorney. His whole family actually was extremely prominent. You would go into this South Carolina courthouse and see pictures of his relatives on the wall. They had money, they had prestige, they had land, they had it all. Just think about rich Southern plantation type owners that had everything going for them, making millions, worth millions. And he ended up killing, you'll see there is his wife, Maggie, and then also his son, Paul, who he called Pawpaw, which was hard to listen to, I understand. And how he did it, at least what he was convicted for doing, was he took a shotgun to Paul, basically, and not to be too graphic, but blew his head off, and then hunted down his wife, who was actually crawling on her hands and knees per testimony. It all happened at the dog kennel. And so that's the long of the short of what happened.
That's right. And he lied about it. He said he was sleeping. He was on the property, but not near the dog kennel until Pawpaw, he solved his own murder. Paul was recording on Snapchat and posted, and the father here, the defendant, Alec Murdoch, did not know that. And whose voice was on the recordings just minutes before he was murdered? His father's. So his father was at the kennel right before his son and his mother and his wife's phones went silent and went offline and when they were murdered. So why did he lie about that? Because he was the murderer. He was the killer. The evidence is so strong that he was forced to take the stand after that point and to try to lie his way through his earlier lies. But by that point, the jury didn't buy it.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you brought up that point, because for those of us who watched the trial, this was a bombshell moment when Alec Murdoch, he decided to testify. He was literally like a dog on a wet linoleum floor, just all over with how he was explaining things. And the bottom line was, as Dave just said, he wasn't even there. And yet, if you can believe it, it just like you said, he solved his own murder. He had reached out to friends. He was talking about this dog and so forth, and it's all in this Snapchat. And there he is, not his face, but his voice. It was really a bombshell moment. Didn't you feel that in the trial?
It was that sweet dog. I forgot the dog's name. We can look it up. The dog and his son, Paul, because of the dog had acted out or something, had gone to the bathroom on the floor or something. I forgot. But then you could hear Alec Murdoch in the background, like, oh, whatever the dog's name is. And it was clear, unmistakable, his voice. And he knew it. He knew he was in trouble because the murders occurred at the dog kennel. And he said he was nowhere near there at the time of the murders, but he was there. And why would you lie? Why do you lie about that? Because you're the murderer.
The dog was Bubba.
Bubba. All right. He was like, oh, Bubba. How sad, like the banality of all of it. Like here he is chastising the dog. Little did Paul know that his own father would blow his head off just a short time later. I mean, just how evil is this person? A sociopath. And then he did it for the weirdest of reasons, because he wanted sympathy. So he was about to get in real trouble. All of his financial crimes were about to come to a halt. And then he was trying to distract from a court deadline and get sympathy. And so he decided to sacrifice his family for his own hide. And he's going to go down with them.
Yeah, it's all really interesting. You know, as a family annihilator, that's what I'm calling him, because you annihilate your family for the betterment of you. You're going down. If the ship's going down, I'm taking you with you, with me. And oh, by the way, I'm going to get sympathy along the way. Because it, like we explained earlier, he had everything and he lost everything. Who did he sacrifice or not sacrifice, though, was his older son, Buster. This is a picture of him earlier. And I'm convinced it was because Buster wasn't really causing him too much trouble. And I also remember, do you remember this, Dave? I thought I remembered that actually he tried to get him to come down there earlier, meaning during the day, but sometime earlier it was discussed this weekend. And he's like, Dad, I got to work, you know, I live with my girlfriend up here. We're not coming down for whatever reason. I need to go. I'm going to go look for that, because it wasn't close to the time of this, not like what he did to Maggie. You know, Maggie, he begged for her to come there. He lured her there.
With Buster, though, he didn't present the problems that Paul did to him, because Paul had gotten in some trouble. He was defending him. It was costing him money. And it was an embarrassment to Alec and Parton. And Buster wasn't like that. And also Buster proved his loyalty. He was in court every day and he seemed to support his father. I don't know how he feels now, though.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because he testified on behalf of his father. And yep. he supported him really throughout. Although, if you look at the most recent reporting, he apparently hasn't been to visit his father in prison. At least that's the reporting I'm seeing. So I don't know how close they are after all of this or how much even Alex still controls the money strings. That might also be part of why Buster supports. But what do you think, Dave? Do you think he'll continue supporting throughout this trial?
I think he has finally opened his eyes to what really happened. And I think that's why you haven't seen him or heard much of him lately. So I'd be surprised if he continued to support his father. I we'll see. I mean, who knows? It's family dynamic. But now that the evidence is so clear and he's talked to people probably and finally got through that haze of, you know, that he's lost his brother, he's lost his mother, and he wanted to protect his father, and now has realized the reason why he lost his brother and his mother was because of his father, and he deserves no pity from any of us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there's so much to break down legally in this case. So let's get after it. First of all, I just want to talk about the financial crimes and the fact, and Dave will explain it, but it, essentially he's serving the rest of his life out for two different violations. Can you get into that a little bit? What was he convicted of? Did it have anything at all to do with the murder trial?
Well, he stole from his law firm and he had all these financial crimes. He was living high in the hog and it was stolen money. And then there were insurance, there was insurance fraud and all this stuff that he was doing, stealing the proceeds from an insurance case that put in his pocket. And just taking money from clients and funds. And so the state spent many days going through meticulously all these financial crimes. And the South Carolina Supreme Court said, that's too much. You had at least 12 hours of excess argument and or statement evidence on this. And that is propensity evidence. You use that to show that because he's such a bad guy here, he must have done it here. So that's why the state Supreme Court said, in addition to the violations by the clerk of courts, also the court should not have admitted so much of this financial crime evidence because that made the jurors believe, yeah, he's such a bad guy. He must have done the murders. And so a lot of that stuff's not going to be admissible in the next trial, but it's okay. I actually thought the prosecutors went overboard. I thought they did too much of that and bored the jury. And I think it's a better, tighter case to say his motive was financial. Here's some evidence. And now let's focus on the murders itself. So I don't think it's going to hurt the prosecution. It may even help him.
Let me ask you this, Dave, because this is what bothers me about this. Would, and we'll get into, of course, our friend Becky Hill here. Unbelievable. But my question for you is, do you think, but for Becky Hill and what she did, that the financial exposure over and over and over again, I think they had something like 19 hours of testimony. Don't quote me on that, but it was something along that line, just kind of overkill on his financial issues, or not issues, his financial frauds that he committed, his financial crimes. Do you think if the Becky Hill situation wasn't at hand, would this case still have been turned over? That's my question on that.
That is such a good question, Jen, because I thought the same thing. I was wondering the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I believe that had the Becky Hill situation not come to the front, I think that they would have, the court would have ignored the overwhelming cumulative evidence of financial crimes. I think that the Supreme Court added that in because they said the Becky Hill transgressions were so great that it violated a Sixth Amendment right. And by the way, while we're at it, you went too far on the financial crime. So I agree. I don't think they would have overturned this case based solely on the financial crime cumulative evidence.
So it was kind of like clean up on aisle five. And oh, by the way, there's some rice in the corner. Let's go ahead and clean that up too.
That's a second great analogy of floor stuff. Like first you had the dog on the linoleum floor. I need to use that. And now you have the rice on the floor, clean up on aisle 9 or whatever. That's great. That's why you get paid the big bucks, Jen Coffendapper.
Oh, you know, I don't know about that, but that's just what it makes me think of when you talk about the fact that really the big kahuna, the reason that this was even entertained. And I want to talk about this first. What about the fact that the judge, the appellate judge, looked at this? Do you remember her? Nice little old lady.
Judge Justice Toll.
Yes. And she kind of said, listen, yeah, this sort of happened, but I think only one juror really said that it had any effect. What do you think now, looking back on her decision?
Well, I think she's right in that the jurors knew that this didn't affect them. And I agreed at the time with her conclusion that this did not change the verdict in the case. But the South Carolina Supreme Court said that the standard is different. The standard is not what Justice Toll applied. It's actually more protective of criminal defendants, where the burden is on the state to prove that the clerk's mistakes did not affect the jury, as opposed to making the defense prove that it did. So Justice Toll, I thought, made the right findings, but according to the South Carolina Supreme Court unanimously, she used the wrong standard. The burden should have been on the prosecution, not on the defense.
Interesting. So having said that, no judges want to get overturned. And so now you look at the trial judge, which he didn't know about all of this, right? This was done completely out of his knowledge, right, except for the financial overdue.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is not with the trial judge, except for allowing all this financial evidence in. But again, you and I agree. I think that was not going to overturn this verdict. I mean, too much went into this verdict to be overturned because of that. They overturned this verdict because you had a clerk of court who decided to put herself over justice because she wanted to make money off this. She wrote the book, which was plagiarized, by the way, from a BBC reporter. And then she lied about it. And then she said things like, watch this guy carefully, you know, about the defendant, like poisoning the well. You didn't need to do that. And then there was the issue of the egg juror. You know about the egg juror? That's another issue that the clerk was involved with.
Yeah, the egg juror. Gosh, that's been a long time. But I remember they called her the egg juror, right? Because she brought eggs.
Another juror brought eggs for her. And after she was dismissed, she said, okay, can I get my eggs? And she said that, and everyone, they call her the egg juror. But she said afterwards that she still needed more convincing. She was undecided whether he was guilty or not. So the defense said, that's why Becky Hill got her bounce from the jury. She would have been a holdout. And according to reports, what happened was Becky Hill knew that she would be a holdout. So she came up with a story that she, Becky Hill, saw on Facebook, a post by the egg juror's ex-husband, who wrote that I was married to the juror. She was drunk and said that she thinks that Murdoch's guilty, you know, something to that effect. So Becky Hill said, as a clerk of court, I must report this to the judge. And so she reported to the judge and got this juror tossed off the jury. Now, in reality, according to the egg juror, she does not speak to her ex-husband because there was domestic violence and there's like a restraining order. So she doesn't speak to him, number one. Number two, she said there was never a post by the ex-husband anyways. And when they went back to Becky Hill and they said, can you show us a copy of the post? Becky Hill said, darn it, it was deleted. He deleted it. And there was never any evidence of it. And then when they went back to her, she said, well, here's some proof. And it was proof of it wasn't anything to do with the ex-husband or the juror. It was someone else about something else. So that is suspicious. And that could overturn a conviction.
So, but as I recall, and I had totally, I have to tell you, I was so caught up on all the other misdeeds. I had actually forgotten about that. And you're reminding me of all those details, but that was not part of the decision. Was it?
Well, it was about her violation of the rule, Becky Hill, and her conduct. Now, as far as whether or not that played into it, it may not have been any, it may not have been mentioned by the Supreme Court because they didn't need to. Her comments about the credibility of the murderer here, the key witness, the defendant, was enough. But I think it's all part of the same stew. I think that the Supreme Court saw that Becky Hill just went out of control. Remember, they chastised her in no uncertain terms. And it wasn't really, in my mind, just because she made that comment about Alec Murdoch. It was about everything she did, that she decided to make sure there would be a fast guilty verdict so she can get on with her book.
Exactly. And that's really at the heart of this. If he's found not guilty, this book really doesn't sell, right? Because she's painted him as being guilty. And as you pointed out, a lot of this book was actually plagiarized that they discovered. And of course, you can't even get this book anymore. Thankfully, you know, it's not for sale. And what did she get out of all of this? She loses her job. She has multiple felony convictions. And that's it. She 100 hours of community service and probation. Do you think that's an injustice considering what's developed?
I think now that this case has been overturned, that getting off with probation was too light. I think she should have served time. It's not enough that she had to pay back money and is disgraced. But I think that when you do something that puts others through so much trauma, like having to retry the case, how about the jurors wasting your time? Yeah, I think incarceration is necessary.
Yeah, it's really interesting, though. She was smart because she got this adjudicated super quick before there would be a decision by the Supreme Court, which, of course, a Supreme Court meaning the South Carolina Supreme Court. And those wheels turned slowly. She knew that. She's a clerk at courts. Do you think, let me ask you this, when an FBI agent, a clerk at courts, an attorney commits a crime like this, does it make it worse for you? Is it like a worse taste in your mouth? Or you got to judge everybody the same under the law?
As far as Becky Hill or Alec Murdoch, because Becky Hill, because, but remember, Alec Murdoch was a well-connected individual and had ties to the state attorney's office back in the day. But when it comes to Becky Hill, see, I don't know if you're a football fan, and I'm going to assume many in your audience may not be. So let me just analogize the clerk of courts to an offensive lineman. See, in football, you have these big guys in the trenches. They do the dirty work. They're offensive linemen, and they block to protect the quarterback, and they are really important. But you don't hear of them because they're just big, ugly guys who block. It's not a glamorous position. But when you do hear of them, it's usually for a bad thing. It's because they committed a penalty. Well, same thing for clerks of courts. You don't hear about them. They're an intricate part of the system, but you don't hear about them until they screw up. And this is a major screw up. Instead of being behind the scenes and just making sure the criminal justice system operated efficiently, Becky Hill made herself the star of the production. And as a result, now we have an injustice and we have her paying the price, but the people who are really paying the price are all of us, the victims' families, the taxpayers who have to pay for another trial. So mm-hmm. I think she should have been treated more harshly. Now, can I get back to something else we were saying?
Yes.
Apparently the South Carolina Supreme Court did, in its opinion, explicitly reference the egg juror, also known as juror 785.
Oh, good.
Because they said that her actions, there was a part of a broader pattern of shocking jury interference. So I think that's what I mean by the it's all part of the stew. The court, according to reports, found that Hill had misrepresented communications from the public and other jurors to create a pretext for the jurors' removal. So there you go. So I'm glad because, you know, that's bad. I feel bad for the egg juror. She was, you know, even though I don't know how you can be undecided after hearing all that evidence, but still, the jury system is what it is. And to then punish her because she had a difference of opinion is really antithetical to our criminal justice system.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I know before, you know, we've discussed this, many of you know, we've all discussed this case early on and kind of how it was progressing with the whole Becky Hill saga. I'll never forget when we first learned about an issue, right? Wait a minute. She did what? She said what? And remember, it was the defense attorneys that supposedly were going door to door, right? Trying to get a hold of the jurors. And I know when I first heard that, I thought, man, that is so off,
right?
It's unusual for a defense attorney after a verdict to start knocking on jurors' doors. Did you have that same kind of feeling?
Yeah. Well, you know, you hear this all the time. After guilty verdicts, defense lawyers are always trying to find any little thing that went wrong. And, you know, what goes on behind the closed doors of the jury system is pretty much just left as is. As long as they're not a physical threat, you know, pretty much they want to hash it out. But and that's okay. But when you have a clerk of court going in there and saying, you better keep your eye on this guy and, you know, essentially don't believe him, like, oof, that's uncomfortable. And then the question is, did she persuade anyone? Because the evidence was overwhelming. And I thought because the juror said, she didn't persuade me. That would be enough. But apparently the standard is different. The burden is on the prosecution to prove that they were not persuaded, as opposed to the defense trying to have to argue that.
And how does that differ from Florida, where you hail from?
I've never been involved in this situation before. And so I thought the rule is that the defense still had the burden because the prosecution has the entire burden of proof to prove the case beyond reasonable doubt. So after the fact, there's an allegation of misconduct by the clerk. I mean, that never happens. I've never heard that before. Then what happens? Then you have to, I would think the burden would still be on the defense to have to prove it. But I guess what happens is that once you make a prima facie case that the clerk did overstep the boundaries, then there's an assumption that it did influence a jury. So it's still up to the defense to say, look what happened. And once you establish this is what happened, then there's an assumption that that means the jury was tainted. The defense does not then have to prove that the jury was tainted. The fact that this existed is enough.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now with McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. You know, I liked your analogy with the football, but I'm going to take it one step further. Don't worry. I'm not going to mention the floor or the turf. They're really the center. You know, when you think about it, like not only the offensive line, but the person that hikes the ball, that starts the process, they do everything from, do you guys want donuts or bagels? They literally administrate everything for people who don't know. And she got paid pretty well too. This out of anybody, she knows the rules is my point. I mean, almost next, they are the right-hand person for the judge. In fact, you better not ever mess with a clerk because that judge will be on you.
You don't mess with a clerk. You don't mess with the judge. You don't mess with anyone. Remember in one of Trump's cases, the judge just lashed out because because Trump's lawyers went after, and including Trump, went after aide, the assistant who sits next to the judge. Judges are very protective of the courtroom. That means the bailiff, means the clerk. But when the clerk oversteps her bounds, and the clerk, mind you, is an independently elected official. This is not an assistant to the judge. The clerk doesn't technically work for the judge. The clerk is elected separately. But that clerk can sometimes, I guess, get too big for her britches and decide that, well, this is about me, right? She wrote the book, plagiarized, and then wanted to sell it. And she wanted to make sure that this was her moment to shine because you don't get too many big high-profile cases in the low country like this.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely was the motive. If everybody, anybody's wondering, is the motive behind all of this was certainly that. Now, I've seen a lot going back and forth as to the legal minds like yours talking about what is this going to mean, though, on the retrial? And I want to call your attention to a couple things. The big mistake was him testifying, in my opinion. Do you think they'll have him testify on round two?
Yeah, he's a sociopath. He's already locked in. He's got his testimony. He's got to explain why he lied. And I don't know how you get around it, man. I think he's going to demand it. Remember, he doesn't think like the rest of us. He thinks he can persuade people. And he testified last time because it's going to come out. I mean, it's fair game to go after the specific lies. He lied. He said this to investigators. He lied to them. And then here's his voice at the kennel. I mean, that's it. That's the ball game. I mean, that's it. And that's why he testified in the first trial, because he needed to explain that away. So I think he'll try to do it again, this time in front of a new jury, to try to explain away. Yes, I was scared, so I lied about this. I mean, that whatever BS he wants to spew, it's the Hail Mary pass that he may think he needs because they got him dead to rights.
So I think he won't. But you're probably right because of your reasoning behind it, because he's a wackadoodle. You know, he doesn't think like the rest of us, and he thinks he's better and smarter and wiser.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, that's what happens. That's why you become a murderer. You think that this world revolves around you, and you got to take care of a situation that jeopardizes your own freedom by destroying other lives. I mean, who thinks like that except for a real sociopath? Someone who has some real mental issues. And that's the same type of person who thinks he can take the stand and everyone just believe the junk he's spilling. And with that, Jen, I love being on your show.
Yeah, it's 4:30.
I've got a deadline in my I'm a real lawyer these days. I got to go meet a deadline before 5. So if I could just say thank you, I love being on the show with you.
I love having you. Can you please just tell us where to find you?
Please find me at Substack. I've got my own Substack. I release videos 6 times a week. It's Dave Ehrenberg, DaveArnberg. And thank you again.
Thank you, Dave. See you soon.
Take care, Dan.
You guys, we are so blessed to have somebody like Dave on the show. His expertise, the fact that he is working full-time in the trenches as a defense attorney. When you look at his background as a Florida senator, when you look at the background of as a state attorney, listen, it just doesn't get better than that. I always say, you know, I could talk to him for probably 2 hours show with him. I have so many questions and other things I wanted to get through, but I think we got through a lot. I mean, Dave spells it out there. Becky Hill, she did it for her book. It was important that he was found guilty, and she didn't want to leave anything to chance. The egg juror who was released because of a purported Facebook post that really never surfaced and wasn't proven to be true was part of the decision. I have not read the entirety of the decision. But essentially, the biggest problem behind this case was that Becky Hill, who was the clerk of the court for the trial judge, went in and said influential statements to the jurors, things that she has no right saying, particularly involving Alec Murdaugh when he was going to the stand. And this is such an iconic picture for me. This is when Alex is getting ready to testify. She's the clerk of court. She has to swear you in, and he's getting ready to take the stand. And, you know, just this look, I don't know, this interplay I find very interesting now, because of course he gets up on the stand and she makes comments to the jurors about his credibility and about who he is. And, you know, I think many of us were concerned, how can that be overlooked? But then the appellate judge looked at it and she said, listen, it did not have a bearing on the jurors. I've interviewed them all. They said, listen, no bearing. So because no bearing, no harm, no foul. the state Supreme Court in South Carolina said, not so fast. That is incorrect. You can't do that. You can't mess with the jury during deliberations, and you certainly can't say anything negative about Alec Murdaugh because he's on trial. So, yeah, this is one of my favorite photos of kind of that situation. And then this one, too, of her testifying. You know, it's just one of the saddest cases, I think, when you really think about it, because at the end of the day, it's about the victims. We always talk about that. And it's about Maggie, his wife. And it's about his son. Remember, Paul had been involved in a horrible situation concerning a boating accident. Look, this kid drank like nobody's business. If you've seen the videos, it's unbelievable. And he was wasted. He had a boatload of kids. It was late at night. The kids had wanted to actually get back earlier. He didn't want to. He was going to do things his way. It was his boat. Kind of the total rich kid. And nothing against you all, if anybody's rich out there. But it was that rich kid mentality. I've got millions of dollars. This is my boat. We're going to do things my way. And I really think a lot of people, from what I saw, just put up with him. But nevertheless, he's wasted, like blackout drunk. And he wrecks the boat into the pillars that come down from a bridge. Bam. Wrecks into it. Annihilates the boat. Throws individuals. And unfortunately, a horrible, horrible death and lawsuits. And the reason I bring this up, because I really believe that in part, that was part of the hate and the reason he wanted to get rid of Papa. He called him on the stand, you know, oh, Papa, oh, Papa. I don't think he could care a lick about Papa. He then, if he's going to kill Papa, he also kills his wife. I think there's a couple reasons for this, and I'll be interested to see what you have to say in chat. And, you know, I do want to say this. I did not mention the name of the girl that he killed. Her name was Mallory Beach. Beautiful girl. His best friend's girlfriend, actually. And just terrible loss of life for no reason. And it caused the family a lot of embarrassment, a lot of money, suits. He literally, meaning Alec Murdaugh and the other Murdaughs, went into the hospital. They tried to manipulate, I believe, a lot of the witness testimony from these kids early on. Listen, there is not, in my opinion, after watching the trial and everything I know about this case, not one bone in Alex Murdaugh's body that is a good bone. He defrauded individuals out of millions and millions of dollars. And that's what he's in prison for. And he's not getting out. He's been convicted federally and he's convicted locally. And so he's done. So some of you, and this was the one question I wanted to get to with Dave, but I knew he was on a super tight timeline. In fact, the time flew by with him. What I wanted to ask Dave was, in a sense, why? Not because it's my belief, but I know a lot of people have been asking me, why? Why even retire? He's going to die in prison. Nothing's going to change that. And I was asked this last night on a radio show I was on. And this is what I said. I said, listen, Paul and his wife, Maggie, they deserve justice. They deserve justice. And when you think about, I mean, not to get too graphic, but literally within just feet. And this was part of what helped the jury make the decision. They went down to the dog kennels. And the dog kennels, when you could feel how close this shot was. Multiple shots, literally blowing his head off, Paul's head off, his kid, his child, his teen. I think them seeing the, hearing the voice on the Snapchat combined with the surprise of it all. In other words, him saying, I was never down there. And then you see the proximity of, in other words, when you hear the Snapchat and them all talking and Alec Murdoch talking, you realize how close together they are in this exact time he was murdered. So he takes a shotgun, kills Paul, and then he takes another long gun, I think, because he was purposefully staging, right? You want to make it look like more than one person did this. And by the way, this is another reason why I think Buster was spared. I think Buster was spared because it's hard to do three murders all at once. Hard to do, get away with three. It's hard enough to do two. But if you're ready, you're locked and loaded, you got one gun here, you blow away your young son. He totally shocked. You blow him away. And then your wife is there screaming on the ground, trying to crawl away, and you shoot her. That's what happened. This was a up close and personal, but I do believe this wasn't out of like a passion of hate or anything else like that. I think this was literally a family annihilator. He was going down. He was getting ready to be put in prison for all his financial stuff. His entire world was completely imploding. And he was going to take him with him, gain a little sympathy, feign that it's, you know, he was on drugs and so his drug dealers did this. It's all malarkey, in my opinion. But you just never know what's going to happen at a secondary trial. You just never know what's going to happen. You never know. But that's the reason for everybody asking, why in the world are they going forward? You know, it's going to cost hundreds of thousands, if not in the millions of more dollars. They've already spent all this money. Why? And it's very simple. It's about justice for them because they deserve justice. I'm going to be following this so closely, this trial. I may even do the first thing I've ever done, depending on how my real cases in real life are going. Depending on when this is, if it is at the very end of this year or next year, I might sit in there and be one of those, you know, where I can actually live tweet, I can watch, I can tell people what's happening, I can see the jurors' faces, get an idea. This is a case that really deserves justice. All cases deserve justice, but when you think about this rotten human being, and that's just my feeling about him, that's my belief, look at those eyes. They're just dead. And he's dead inside. You know, I always talk about financial crimes, that you can have a financial crime and people think, oh, that's not violent. Oh, you know, that's no big deal. Financial crimes absolutely destroy lives. They take everything from people. I actually have a good friend of mine whose brother, he's in his 70s. He's lost over $1 million on a cryptocurrency scam. His life is just, and the sad thing is, you know, when something like that happens, sometimes people take their lives. And what he did to all the people he defrauded for millions and millions of dollars, took from them what was owed to them by insurance companies for claims, legitimate claims they had, feigned. He even had somebody, you know, feign shooting him, you know, like a carjacking situation. It's terrible. But Alec Murdaugh, for those of you asking, he will get a he's gotten a retrial. They're going to have to do it all over again. It's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. But the prosecution says, we're doing it. We're doing it as fast as we possibly can. We're going to retry this thing. So it'll be new jurors, the same defense lawyers, the same prosecutor. It will be retried. And you might say, well, how in the world can he get a fair trial? We talk about this a lot. And will they keep it in the low country? Possibly we'll move it out of there. They'll keep it somewhere not too far away because people have lives. And there's so many people that I guarantee you right now, if you go to a random place, even in South Carolina, and say, have you heard of the Alec Murdaugh case? Probably going to say no. And the ones that are going to say yes are probably going to be something like, oh yeah, didn't that guy get convicted? I can't remember what he did. Did he shoot somebody? Most people are so busy in their lives, other than us, because we're true crimers. And, you know, we're newsies. But we're gonna see it all again, and this is gonna be so traumatic to the family involved. When I say the family, all the relatives of Maggie and of Paul, their extended family. It's a horrific case. It's really one of the most egregious you'll see. Anytime you see a father kill his own child. We see them kill their wives a lot, let's be honest. But kill their child, especially in this horrific way, all just to feel good because your world's imploding and you're going to take somebody with you and you're going to try to use these guys as some sort of sympathy card. That's the meat of this case. And why did Becky Hill ruin it? Because she wrote a book. It's important that he be found guilty for this release of this book, and she wanted to make money. The root of all evil. Make money. It was all about money for her. And that's why she did it. She got 3 months of probation, I believe. I mean, in other words, never one day in jail. She had to do 100 hours of community service. And that's it. For what she is costing this community. The house has been sold, I believe, at least 2 times. For sure. Let me just say what I for sure know. For sure once. Possibly more. I keep seeing it up for sale. But for sure one time. Things have been already auctioned off. The kennels are no longer there for the site visit. And for some people, some jurors, that site visit was really important for them to see the proximity and how he could have never done what he said, which was be up at the house and make it down to the kennels and all of that. They wanted to test his story against themselves walking it and hearing and understanding the Snapchat combined with the testimony. That's gone now. Oh, I did misspeak. I'm sorry. Thanks for pointing that out. 3 years probation. It doesn't matter. It's probation. But it does matter. Sorry. It matters that I misspoke. I mean, it doesn't matter that kind of a sentence. For this, I believe, if I recall correctly, there were 2 misuse of her position. There was an obstruction of justice and a perjury. Those were her 4 charges. What kind of a sentence is that? And she plagiarized part of the book. That's the crazy thing. If all of this wouldn't have come to light, though, I don't know if anybody would have known that. we'll follow it. I'll keep everybody updated about it. Tomorrow we'll be back on board with Nancy at 10. Have an interesting show, I think, hopefully, that you guys will tune into. I know we are at a weird time today. At first, Dave was going to be able to do our time frame, and then he's working full time. You know, he's married, he has a wonderful life and a lot of work ahead of him. So we were so lucky to have Dave Ehrenberg. As I said, I just have so much respect for him. And I appreciate all of you who could be here to talk about Alex Murdaugh. As I said, we'll stay on it. My thoughts are with justice for Maggie and justice for Paul. And till next time, everyone, may justice be served for the Murdaugh and for everyone missing.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.